like, I kind of caught you off guard. I was hoping nobody would pick it up, because then I wouldn't have a joke to start out with. So I want to take just a moment and thank you guys. I know that a lot of you have been praying for me and for my journey. 2 years ago, I started immunotherapy treatments for cancer, and it's been a crazy journey. Well, on Thursday, I had my last immunotherapy treatment, and so that was astounding and awesome. That doesn't mean that I am cured or cancer-free. What that means is they only like for you to take it for 2 years. So I reached that point, and what the process now looks like is, so the doctor told me, how do you feel about coming off of it? And I said, well, I feel like I've got something that's a defense against any, it's working, it's kept it from spreading, it's kept it from growing, and you're wanting to take away my defense. And he said, well, let me tell you that that's what it feels like, but that there is evidence that shows that immunotherapy is creating this very bizarre cell memory. And that what we're hoping is that you may not need to be on it anymore, because your body will fight like the immunotherapy has kicked it into being able to take care of it itself. So that's what we're praying for. I am one day after my last treatment, or 2 days, I guess now, Thursday, Fridays, 3 days, I don't know how to count. And so what we're praying for now is that the cancer will stay stable, that it will not progress. Continue to pray for the miracle that someday I go get scanned and they're like, where in the world is the cancer? It just disappeared. But the hope is that it will stay stable like it is. The doctor said if it shows any evidence of continuing to grow, we will put you back on the immunotherapy, even though it's not recommended, because that's better than the cancer growing. And so that's kind of where we're at. I want to thank you guys for praying and joining with me in that. It's been a long journey, and I have felt the incredible amount of just love, prayers, and support in the midst of all that. So thank you for that. We have felt your prayers and your support. Let's take just a moment before we dive into God's word and just ask him to speak to us this morning from his word. God, we love you. And we love your word. We thank you that you love us. And we thank you that your word transforms us. This morning, as we take a look at your word, we just pray that you'll speak to it, to us through it. And we just pray this in your name. Amen. When I was in elementary school, our church had a program that was called Boys Brigades. Anybody ever heard of Boys Brigade? It's kind of a church Christian version of Boy Scouts. And so they taught us how to tie ropes. They taught us how to, you know, make fire, how to put out fire. They taught us how to, you know, bind wounds, all kinds of stuff like that. We went on camping trips, and we were in charge of certain elements of it. It just really taught you some good survival skills. For those of us that live in the city, in case somebody just throws us out in the woods, we would be able to survive, right? But it gave us those skills of just kind of outdoorsy stuff, and it was fun. And also, we got to go on camping trips. Some of my best elementary school memories were on those Boys Brigades camping trips. I had a brother who's a couple years older than me. My dad was a leader in the group, and so we would enjoy these camping trips together. We did all kinds of crazy fun. There was always a couple of adults who were kind of pranksters, and you never knew what was going to happen. You know, they might take your clothes outside during the rain and see how you dealt with that the next day. But one of the things that we always did is we always went camping to the same area, and they had these caves that we would go to, and it was kind of a hike, so it was kind of a multi-purpose trip. It taught you about kind of how to hike, how to get there, how to stay hydrated, how to, you know, navigate. You know, somebody was in charge and had a map, and you had to get to the cave, and you had a compass, and so there was a lot of different variations, a lot of different aspects, people working together to get us there. And they would always schedule it so that we would have dinner kind of at the cave. And so we also had to take some food with us. And so by the time we got to the cave, it was starting to get dark. And this one particular year, I can remember, it was really super dark by the time we got there. I think it was raining when we showed up to camp, and that pushed back everything a little bit of getting camp set up. So by the time we got off on the cave hunt, it was even later. So we get out to the cave, and it's pretty dark. And so we're all thinking, well, it's time for dinner. And they're like, well, no, we have to go investigate the cave. I mean, that's why you come up here. And then we will have dinner. So we go in, and we start going through this cave. But a couple of the leaders actually stayed back, and they're like, we're going to go ahead and start the campfire and, you know, start getting dinner ready, because they didn't want us to starve. But they didn't tell us that. So we're thinking that we're not going to get to eat for a long time. But we're going through this cave, and it's a really narrow cave. It's got a little tiny water trickle kind of creek running down the middle. I mean, tiny. And its walls are like fairly narrow, and every once in a while you'd step in some water. And man, as we start to get back there, it starts to get darker and darker and darker. And there's probably about 17 of us, and we're, you know, sneaking through there, and we've got flashlights and everything. And of course, what are we starting to do? We're starting to kind of get scared, right? And the leader in the back, he says, okay, so those of you that are new, you don't know, this is the point where you have to turn your flashlights off and you have to trust yourself. And so we turned our flashlights off, and we were right at a place where the cave kind of opened up bigger. And so we all start to step through. And I think every once in a while he flicked on a flashlight so we could just kind of make our way into this room. And all of a sudden he says, did you hear that? And one of our leaders had gotten there before us and was hiding in the back of the cave. And he comes just roar, like a bear, and just screaming. And we come shooting out of that cave. Just one, it's like this cave is just popping out, 10-year-old boys just, and we all come stumbling across this fire that's already been made. We didn't realize it was there. And I literally thought I was getting eaten by a bear. Everything within me said, I'm dead. I mean, I don't know how any of us didn't get like trampled, because I know we weren't waiting on each other, but it was probably one of the scariest moments I can think of in my whole life. And the adults just thought it was so funny. They just laughed and laughed and laughed. Well, the next year we came, and all of us are like, hey, are we doing the fake bear hunt thing for the new guys? And of course, their wives had talked them out of it, said it was too dangerous once they heard what they had done, which was really frustrating. But what is it? It's interesting, though, how scary the dark can be. You know, it's the dark can be so frightening. You know, when the electricity goes off, especially if it's late at night and all of a sudden it's dark, like pitch dark, what do you immediately do? you immediately start looking for candles or flashlights or something, or you grab your phone, because we don't like to be in the dark. We don't like, you don't just stand there and go, wow, this is really cool. It's dark. It's pitch black. I can't see anything. I'm just going to enjoy this for a while. There's something that it begins to strike this fear within us. When I was a kid, I had, I don't know if this speaks of some of my mental condition at the time, but I was convinced that there was a female ghost that laid in the top shelf of my closet. So when I was laying in bed and it was dark and you could see like the shadows up there, and I was just convinced that there was, it was like the image of a girl up there, and it totally freaked me out. So I always had to keep my, you know, keep it shut so that I didn't see. Has anybody else had any fears like that growing up? Is there anything, let me ask you this. This may be the better question. Is there any of you that would be willing to admit and tell us of some irrational things that you feel like exist in the dark right now? Like if you were to be in a dark, dark place and you think there's probably what's in the dark? Snakes? What? Cockroaches? Spiders, demons, the boogeyman. Yeah, there's all kinds of things. The dark, it's just scary. We do not like to be in the dark. It's interesting, though, how the dark makes us feel uncomfortable. It's a scary place, and yet Scripture tells us, and listen to this, Scripture tells us that we love the darkness. And as I began to study what I was going to present this morning, I had an idea of where I was going to go, and it completely changed directions as I began to look at some Scripture and as God began to bring some Scripture together, because I first of all wasn't thinking this idea that we love the darkness. But listen to what John 3:19 says. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people loved the darkness instead of the light. People loved the darkness instead of the light. The truth is, point number one, we all love the darkness and are drawn to it. We all love the darkness and are drawn to it. We don't like to be in the dark, but the reality is we like to live in the dark. We don't like to turn the lights on our inner self. We don't like for people to see what is on the inside. We don't like to see what is on the inside. We don't want others to see what's there. We actually love to live our lives in the darkness. And we don't want people to walk in and turn the lights to our soul on. And I found that very fascinating as I began to think about my own life, how I've lived my life, the struggles that I've had, that rings so true. That I do not want people to see into my life. We don't like to take the flashlight and shine it on the inside of our soul and say, look at who I am. This is me on the inside. We like to keep it to where others can't see it. And so I asked myself, why am I drawn to live in the darkness? Why am I drawn to live with the lights turned off in my heart and my soul, to keep those things private? What is the draw? The Scripture says I love it and that I'm drawn to it. Why? Well, one is that it may be that you don't like who you are. We don't like who we are on the inside. I don't want to see it. And so if I just keep it in the dark, I don't have to see or face the reality of who I am. The other is that I might be afraid of what other people will think. And that I don't want people to see my past, my struggles, my imperfections. I just don't want them to see that, and so I choose to hide it. You know, the darkness, it hides our sin. We have pride about our our flaws. Whenever we turn the lights on the inside, it makes us vulnerable. And we don't like that. We don't like to be vulnerable. And the truth is bottom line, if we are seen for who we really are, we feel like we'll be rejected by God and rejected by people. And so we like to hide in the shadows, and we like to stay out of the light. See, what's interesting is the deception of sin tells me that living in darkness, that ignoring that, that hiding those things, keeping those things hidden, that actually living in darkness will lead to the life that you want and bring satisfaction. The deception of sin tells me that. So if I want to pursue success and a career, I don't need to be honest about my past or my shortcomings or my mistakes. I need to hide those things, put the best foot forward, maybe bend the truth, not always be honest here or there. And that's the best way to experience success. And that I can get ahead sometimes with a little dishonesty or some manipulation, as long as I don't get caught. And I can have true intimate relationships while keeping a part of myself completely hidden and unavailable. That's the deception that we live under, the lie that is telling us we can hide that part of us and we can still have success in life. We can have deep relationships with people and not offer them everything of who we are. When we live in the darkness, it's interesting. There are some results. Why is the darkness a place that draws us in? Well, for one thing, there is power in darkness. There is power that comes in the darkness. We can actually experience temporary rewards for living in the darkness. There's a famous quote that it says, "If only you knew the power of the dark side." See, Darth Vader wasn't lying to Luke when he made these promises that he would be able to accomplish great things through the power that comes from the dark side of the Force. We all know the story in Star Wars that he tells Luke Skywalker, "There is, if you only knew the power of the dark side," that Darth Vader knows out of personal experience, because if you remember, before he was Darth Vader, spoiler alert, he was just Anakin Skywalker, and Emperor Palpatine told him, and this is what he told him, "The dark side of the Force is a pathway to some abilities that some people consider unnatural." When you begin to live in the dark, when you don't step into the light, think about it. Do you know some people who have been hugely successful? They've accomplished great things, and they've done it all underhandedly. They are absolutely not good people, and you're thinking, how did they did that? How did they do that? How did they accomplish that? Well, the truth is we know that there is temporary success sometimes found in the dark side. Think about the story are you guys familiar with the story of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde? That not only are we drawn to the dark side, but we are drawn deeper and deeper into the dark side. And in the story of the strange case of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, Dr. Jekyll creates this serum, and he believes that it would suppress and hide the evil side of himself. But instead, the serum actually does the opposite and turns him into Mr. Hyde, which is a mental and physical manifestation of the evil side of himself that was what he was actually trying to hide. after time, he was actually able to transform without the serum. And then it became that he was losing control of when he changed. And then he got to where he couldn't even change back. And this darkness that he dabbled in slowly began to consume him, and he lost control of it, and it began to define actually who he was. And then it became this spiral of deeper and deeper and deeper. The truth is, darkness leads to loneliness. Darkness leads to loneliness. When I choose to live in the darkness, I am choosing to live a lonely life. We don't want people to get too close to us because they might discover the secrets that we're trying to keep. We love the darkness until it fails us. The lie is eventually exposed. The lie that the darkness will bring joy and fulfillment, eventually that fails us. And this is the truth and reality where Jesus steps in and makes the proclamation in John 8:12, where he says, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." All of this draw to the darkness, all of this draw to secrecy, all this temptation to hide and to not be honest and to live our lives the way where people can see who we are, all of that, Jesus steps in and says, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." He is the light of the world. He is the light of the world. Following Jesus leads to a life in the light and salvation from darkness. John 9 says that while I am here, I am the light. So here's some truths about the light. As we've talked about the darkness, now let's look at the light. Light chases away darkness. Have you ever thought about that? What is light and dark? Is that dark is like the absence of light? And you just turn on light and it chases away the darkness. You can't have a lit room and introduce something. I mean, I guess a black hole or something, if you want to go there, that's going to suck all the light into it. But when you turn on a light, it like chases away all the darkness. When Jesus says, "I am the light of the world," what he is saying is that he will chase away the darkness. John 1:5 says, "The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." See, sin is forever trying to claw its way back into our lives. This darkness, this desire to hide, it's trying to claw its way back in, and the light is chasing it away. And nothing is hidden from God. Nothing is hidden from God. Another truth about light is that light guides and gives clarity. Light guides and gives clarity. So not only does light chase away the darkness, but it guides us and it gives us a sense of direction. Psalm 119:105 says, "Your word is a lamp for my feet and a light unto my path. It illuminates my path. It guides us into choices that we make and the people that we become." Also, light leads to fellowship. Just as I talk about darkness leads to loneliness, light leads to fellowship. And 1 John 1:5, he says, "This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth." See, we can hide from God and refuse to acknowledge what we know about him. Or if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. according to the way he walked, or in the presence of the light, we begin to have fellowship with one another. Living in the light leads to fellowship, which is sharing things in common. I like that thought, sharing things in common. And that I have fellowship with God and with people. So when I begin to walk in the light, I have these things in common that create fellowship and relationship at a deeper level. You know, it's interesting in that we can be social. We can spend time with people and still be incredibly lonely. Some of you know this feeling, and that you have friendships, you have groups of people you hang out with, you're busy, you're doing lots of stuff, but in the middle of it, you can feel so incredibly lonely. It's like the ability to be alone in a crowd where you feel like, yeah, but nobody really knows me. Nobody really notices me. Nobody really cares for me. And yet there's the illusion of relationships. You know, sometimes we protect ourselves with bubble wrap so that people won't get too close to us. And it can just get incredibly lonely when people don't understand and know who we are. And what this passage is saying in 1 John 1:5 is that the light leads to true fellowship. One of the things as Kurt was showing that video, I almost thought that video is kind of the whole message for this week, of just being able to say, I want to take my life and I want to throw it out in the light. And I want to take my life, the things that I'm scared to death, and I want to bring them on the outside. Not for the whole world to see, because everybody won't treat that with love and respect that it deserves. But I need to bring it out in the light to some people. People who care for me. People who will help me. Who will love me in the midst of that. That we can do that together. And you saw that in this video, that these people were like, I was at a place where I didn't know anything else to do. And when I began to pull out and lay things on the table, my expectation was rejection. My expectation was that people would run, would leave me, and that I would be alone. And the very opposite happened. And then it began to forge people together. They began to feel cared for, and they began to develop these relationships at a deeper level. That's what's the paradox of the dark and light kind of dichotomy, is the things that we think that we will get by living, putting all that in the darkness, we actually lose it. And when we bring it out in the light, we think we're going to be rejected, and we actually gain the things that we want. 1 John 1:7 tells us that the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. Light also purifies us. John 8:12 tells us that not only does the light chase away the darkness, guide us and give us clarity, lead to fellowship, purify us, but that the light is life. And in John 8:12, it says, when Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. In John 1:1, he says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And he was with God in the beginning, and through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life. And that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. What I see in all of these, as I look at this, what is the light of the world, this darkness, these passages show me two very clear things. And that is that the darkness leads to death and light leads to life. You know, there's a thing called seasonal depression. It's like a real thing. It's a clinical disorder where you get more likely to get depressed in the winter, when there's less light, when you're indoors a lot, when the days are shorter. People that are in areas of the world where, like Alaska and stuff, where sometimes it's dark for a long period, there's actually higher rates of depression and suicide because they aren't getting light. And it's interesting that I think spiritually it's the same thing is true, is that that light breeds life into us spiritually. I want to take just a moment and compare two songs. And that there is this idea that living in the dark, hiding who we are, not being open and honest, leads to just death. And revealing ourselves and being known leads to life. Demi Lovato has written a song that's come out recently called Anyone, and it is one of the most painful songs I've ever listened to. If you've heard it, it's a beautiful song to hear her sing it, but the words speak of just pain and darkness, of just reaching out, and the song is called Anyone, and it says, I tried to talk to my piano, I tried to talk to my guitar, talked to my imagination, confided in alcohol. I tried and tried and tried some more. Told secrets till my voice was sore, tired of empty conversation, cause no one hears me anymore. 100 million stories and 100 million songs. I feel stupid when I sing. Nobody's listening to me. Nobody's listening to me. I talk to shooting stars, but they always get it wrong. I feel stupid when I pray, so why am I praying anyway? If nobody's listening, anyone, please send me anyone. Lord, is there anyone? Is that not so full of pain and despair? And then you turn around and take a look at this song that David wrote in Psalm 139. David says, you searched me, O Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit down, when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you're there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle in the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. And I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. Then I awake. I am still with you. Jesus is the light of the world, and his light leads to being known, guided, protected, and given purpose. we look at the difference here. And when you live in the darkness and you hide the things that you're going through, it leads to secrets, alcohol, loneliness, depression, and a complete lack of purpose. And on the other hand, we have the choice of being known, being guided, being protected, and having purpose. The great thing about the light of the world, Jesus being the light of the world, is he is not just the light for our own purpose, but he is also the light because he wants to take us, those of us who are who love and are drawn towards the darkness. That's where we started. There's a part of me that loves and is drawn towards the darkness. And scripture is telling me that Jesus is the light of the world. And as I allow him to begin to transform my life, listen to what then John says. I mean, Matthew says in Matthew 5:14. Now he says something that sounds a little bit different. Matthew says, you are the light of the world. Speaking to us, you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. In John 9, he said, While I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Now that Jesus is gone, he is saying, you are the light of the world. And his command is to let your light shine. Let your light shine. We must resist the draw of the darkness. Allow Jesus to light your world and walk in that light. And then let your light shine before men. Let's take some time to pray. God, I want to ask that we just spend a couple of moments to just confess to you that we know we shove a lot of things into the dark. There are a lot of things in our lives that we feel like if we can just ignore them, act like they never happened, act like they're not a big deal, if we just keep them in the dark, then everything will be okay. God, I just pray that you would help us to not believe the lie, but that you are the light of the world, that light is life. And when you shine your light into our hearts and our souls, yes, sometimes it can be a little bit painful and it's not always easy, but it brings healing and it brings health. God, it helps us to forge deep, meaningful relationships. It purifies us. And we just thank you for these things. God, may we let our light shine before the world that they may also know you. We just pray this in your name. Amen.